It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott in the house. Man, a lot going on today. Steve Post is going to join us here in a little bit. The Postman, we'll talk to him in just a few minutes here on Mostly Motorsports. I got to say, right now, my thoughts are with the people in Florida. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I have a cousin, David Simmons. He makes custom inline skating boots. And he's lived in Florida, in Cape Coral, for a long time. He lives right on the water. And let me tell you, my thoughts are with him right now. I just spoke to my former crew chief, J.J. Sonneveld. And J.J. was my crew chief for the better part of 10 years. Probably my best crew chief I ever had was J.J. Sonneveld. He was one of the very, very best. And I just spoke with him just a few minutes ago, and he said that his power is out down there in his house. He's inland about several miles. And they took off work today, and they are, right now, he is sitting down there with no power, no electricity. And when I asked him about my cousin David, where he lives, because he knows, because he's been over there, when I traveled down there to visit with my cousin David, JJ always comes over and says hey to us, and we hang out together a little bit. My cousin David lives right on a canal, right on the water, on a canal. He's got a big boat there. He's got a big hot tub right outside of his pool. He's got a pool right outside his back patio. And I'm thinking about him right now because from what JJ just told me, that they're getting like 12 feet wave surges right now in Florida. Man, Austin, how would you like to be living on the water down in Florida right now on the Gulf side? That would be it. That would not be much fun right now, would it?
No, not at all. And I guess I have maybe a slight connection to the storm. So a guy that I follow on social media and YouTube, I've talked about him here in a couple of times. His name's Cletus McFarland or Garrett Mitchell, these big drag racers.
What's his connection to you?
He's just a YouTube guy. I follow him on social media, and he's gotcha. Big into I'm just a fan of his, really, into drag racing, drifting, and building, you know, cars. So what he did, he bought the Soto Speedway after it shut down after the passing of Dave Steele. I think in the beginning of 2020 is when he bought it. He's renovated it and made it a really nice facility and has done great things with it. And he lives just about a quarter mile away from the track. And they have a really nice big building and a ton of drift cars and drag cars and cool projects in there. And they're right in the middle of the path. They're a little inland, just in Bradenton. But
Where's that at, close to? Do you know?
No, I have to pull up my maps again. But he's probably 50-ish miles from the west coast of Florida, yeah. And the path of the hurricane should be like a Category 3 or 2 when it gets to their area. So I've seen his updates on social media. Their shop's, you know, jam full of cars that are haulers. They have a big stackers all under an awning.
How paranoid would you be if you had all that?
Yeah, very. I mean, he has a it's a big, like, I can't think of the name of the vehicle. It's like a tank in a way, but it has tracks on it, yeah. And it's worth every bit of $500,000, and it's only one of 12 in the entire world.
Oh my gosh!
And
it's down there.
It's down there, and it was owned by Kanye. Then it was sold to
Kanye West.
Yeah, Kanye West, and it was sold to like the Diesel Brothers, and then it was sold to him. So it's 1 of 12, and I mean, that's a $500,000, you know, piece of equipment just sitting down there in the path of that storm, and you know, not counting a stacker and a hauler and about 12 or 15, you know, drag cars and drift cars, you know, in his building. So yes, if I was down there, I would probably be losing my mind right now. But I guess that's what you. It's no different than having tornadoes or stuff like that in right. Missouri and Kansas.
Well, let me tell you something. JJ has a late model sitting down there, a super late model. He has the super truck that we ran, and he's got Mike Clem's modified down there in his shop right now. He just built the shop, and they're inland a little ways, and I think JJ might be okay. Let me tell you a little story about one time. JJ lived in Platte City, and at the time, there was a tornado that was supposed to come down 92 Highway. I don't know if I've ever said this on the air or not. I might have. But we were in the race shop, and they said, there's a tornado going down 92 Highway, and JJ lived about a quarter mile off of 92 Highway. And at the time, I had two Craftsman trucks, two ARCA cars, and my super truck in JJ's shop up there in Platte City. And let me tell you, I stood outside, and thank God that tornado didn't hit us. It went around us, and it went to the north of us a ways. And let me tell you, when they say that these tornadoes sound like trains? Have you ever witnessed a tornado, Austin?
Nope.
Let me tell you something. It sounded just like a train. But it was a big wall cloud, and you couldn't really see the tornado, but you could hear it, right? And we were just so lucky. So that same day that tornado barely missed our shop, at my house, about an hour later, my wife at the time, Sharon, she called me and said, a tornado just missed our house by 6 blocks. They were standing in the front yard and saw the tornado ripping through the neighborhood next door. And they ran in the house, got in a safe area, and it didn't hit our house. You know who Chris Ketz is on Channel 9?
No.
You don't know who he is?
No.
Because you don't watch TV.
Nope.
So Chris Ketz is a news anchor, and he's on Channel 9. He lived over in Brooktree. And it hit his house and destroyed his house as well. It destroyed a lot of houses in the neighborhood next to us. It's scary stuff, man. When you talk about hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, man, all of that is scary, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anything that impacts your life has to be, you know, definitely scary. I know for about 2 or 3 weeks here, maybe back in June, we had a kind of a weather system moving through this area, and I remember I usually stay up till about, you know, 1 o'clock at night, midnight, back when we were racing full time, you know, in the shop and doing stuff. And I just kind of had an early night about midnight, just went to bed, and I knew there were storms kind of rolling. Then I woke up to like 1:30, and we had tornado sirens going off, and I was kind of out of it there for a little. I just fell asleep. And then, you know, you're reacting to the situation, and
your mind's kind of fuzzy because you just woke up,
that's
right?
Even like, you know, the first thing I think about is you know, my responsibilities, and that's the race car and the race shop. And I'm like, man, I hope I got everything taken care of before, you know, if anything ever happens. And then we're lucky that just, I don't think a tornado touched. I think it just had a warning come up, and
right.
And everybody was able to carry on what they were doing. And maybe about a week or two later, we were supposed to go race Knoxville on a Saturday night. And it looked like that they were going to have a ton of rain at Knoxville, and it was going to rain out. So we stayed back home, and I knew weather was coming in again, and I got everything, you know, well prepared as I could. And it was probably about the time we would be turning back around from Knoxville to come back home after the races were over. We had a system of storms fire up here, and there was actually a tornado, I think, in Plattsburgh, or a warning, which is about 10, 15 miles north of where I live, coming straight south right for our house. And I'm like, man, I just imagine if I was on I-35 heading south from Knoxville, knowing that I have two animals at home and the rest of my racing equipment sitting there right in the path of a tornado. I don't know. I'm glad we stayed home and missed that. But I mean, even that, I mean, there was no damage or no tornado, but just the thought of that, or having the realization that this could happen and it could change everything.
Just the thought of it is scary, right? So let me just say one other thing. I forgot to mention, when that tornado came through the neighborhood next to me, it went up through Liberty. You remember when the tornado went up through Liberty and got up there by William Jewell, up there on H Highway? My cousin David, who is now living in Florida, his house got hit and was completely destroyed by that tornado. So now he's having to deal with this hurricane down in Florida. I just hope that they get through it okay. My fingers are crossed for not only J.J. Sonneveld, but my cousin David Simmons as well. It's just a scary thought. I just hope my cousin David isn't trying to ride it out down there. That would not be the smart thing to do.
I don't think so.
My cousin David's pretty smart, but he's pretty hard-headed too. And he's got a lot of stuff in his shop. And let me tell you, my cousin David makes custom inline skate boots. And these boots are made for Olympic speed skaters. He's won like 20-some gold medals in speed skating in the Olympics. And he also makes these boots for Tour de France bicycle riders where the boot snaps into the pedal. You know what I'm talking about, Austin? Yep. You ever seen those?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, he does that as well. And he's won probably 10 or 12 gold medals with bicycle riders as well. So let's just hope that they get through it and he doesn't have to deal with another devastation like he did when the tornado took down his house up here in Liberty, Missouri. He was just up behind William Jewell. I mean, and you know what's so funny about that story is one of his very best friends had a house about two doors down from him. And those lots are really big up there in Liberty. You know, they're really big lots, right? So his friend Chris and his wife, they went into town. The tornado came. And when they came back to their house, their 17-year-old son was in the house. And when they got back to their house, the house was completely gone. Completely gone. There wasn't, it was just a slab. Their son held on to a pillar down in the basement and survived that. And the house was completely, it was completely destroyed. There wasn't a piece of lumber left on the top part of the house.
Wow.
How scary would that be if you were a kid, 17 years old, hanging on to a pole down in the basement, and you could hear the devastation of a tornado ripping your house apart?
No thanks.
That would be
crazy. I don't wish that on anybody.
No way. No way. Gosh. Well, let's just hope everybody down there in Florida is going to make it, and let's hope any racetracks that are down there make it as well. All right, let's get into it, Austin. I think that you and I probably need to talk about this William Byron thing. I hate to start the show off with NASCAR, right? But you and Kurt kind of agree that the call for William Byron and Denny Hamlin should have been made during the race. Tell me about it. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, after... You know, seeing that on Sunday afternoon, and then, you know, yesterday I didn't really hear much about it, and then, or actually Monday, then you come back to yesterday, and you see they dropped the penalty on him, and then I was listening to another podcast, Door Bumper Clear, which is some of the spotters in NASCAR and their take on it, and then hearing Kirk's opinion, I just I think this situation could have be handled a little bit different. You know, spinning a guy under yellow is you know, not the best idea. You really don't gain a whole lot out of it,
right.
And it's just it's not the best look for a lot of people. And you know, it's not hard to make that call. And if you ask NASCAR says and continues to say that they didn't see the accident, and I have a really hard time believing that they didn't see it. There's
plenty of video.
There's countless people, hundreds of people in NASCAR uniforms in the tower that have different roles to cover every square inch of that racetrack. You have, well, like 40 cars maybe started that race. I don't know how many were going at that point, but you have at least 40 in-car cameras. You have a flagman. You have people around the track. You have spotters telling officials on top of the tower that, you know, they got spun and you know, they need to, you know, review it and have something, you know, done. And you can't sit here and tell me that you guys didn't see that, especially when your social media team went out there and posted a video of the accident 10, 15 minutes after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's just another flaw on NASCAR, but this is something that needs to be handled at the track. Now I get, you know, usually these penalties are handed out on Tuesdays, which has always been the case. But you know that's fine if it's a technical issue. If you didn't pass post race tech, or you know you had a situation that wasn't conflicting on the track with another driver. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was something in the pits after the race, whatever. But if it's something on the track that can be taken care of within a minute, 2 minutes of it happening, do that. I think that's maybe, you know, something they need to maybe write into the rule book. I just, you know, you look ahead and put this situation that we just experienced at Texas, you know, into another race this year. What's the outcome of that going to be? Let's say it's Phoenix at the championship four, and you have a playoff guy that has a shot at a championship get spun by either another playoff driver or not another playoff driver, and now his shot at a championship's over. And that could have been, you know, either prevented or there could have been repercussions for that action at that track to give that guy maybe still a shot at a championship. You don't want a championship to be decided by somebody else or something out of that control, I guess. And
that's happened for years, though.
I guess, but I wouldn't want that to have my name to be on something like that. I just, you know,
look at Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano at Martinsville. If you remember, Joey Logano took out Matt Kenseth at Kansas Speedway, took him out of the playoffs, and what happened at Martinsville? He was laps down. His car was limping around there. He was trying to keep it up at minimum speed. And then when Joey Logano came by him, he took him out and he crashed him and took him out of the playoffs. This is just part of racing.
That's under green flag conditions.
Yeah.
This is under yellow. That's different.
Do you think the 11 car should have got a spot back?
Either give him a spot back or send the 24 to the tail.
Hmm. They did send him to the tail, didn't they?
I don't believe so. Kurt?
No, you know what? I think what they did with the 11 car, they let him continue where he blended in.
Yeah.
It was the blend rule.
I mean, he didn't maintain pace speed, so, you know, if it was for another reason, I get a penalty, but, you know, you just got dumped under yellow. That's not your wrongdoing.
Did you feel like Denny Hamlin did anything? Kirk, I'm talking to Austin. I heard you in the background. Did you feel like Denny Hamlin did anything intentional when he came up off of turn two? I don't think he did. Do you? I think he just got loose. He was in between two cars. He got loose. He ran up the track, made a little contact. I think William Byron overreacted to the situation. Would you agree with that?
I think a little bit. I mean, it was more of a racing deal. If it was a situation, I think maybe like Pocono when Denny, you know, finished Ross, then I would maybe, all right, William, you have a reason to be upset with them. I maybe wouldn't do it under yellow because it looks just worse on you. Maybe do it under green. But yeah, you know, that's just he was racing with two guys. Maybe the air got off the car and he got free. And I mean, he was
slid up.
William was
a
kind
little.
Of, in, I guess, no man's land there, you know, being on the top. And it's just, you know, your guys ran out of room. It gets narrow off the exit there, and it's just kind of what it is.
I think William overreacted. I felt like when he saw him coming up the racetrack, he kind of overreacted and pulled the steering wheel a little too far to the right. Would you agree with that a little bit? Like he overreacted to Denny coming up the racetrack? Do you think he overreacted a little bit there?
Maybe a little bit, but yeah. I mean, you see the guy moving up, and you're committed to your line, and you see where he's at, so you're trying to put yourself in a position not to run him over, but also keep yourself in and like clean air and clean track. So, you know, if he does come up more, you're not going to be stuffed in the fence. And I mean, he came up and he put you in that position where you had to either, you know, lift and completely back out of the spot, or you stay in the gas and you're going to be, you know, in the fence. Yeah. It was just kind of a, you know, I guess the best way you say it's a racing deal.
Yeah.
You know, but if I was Eric Jones and Ty Gibbs, I mean, I would definitely be more upset than maybe, you know, Williams' issue with Denny.
Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to Caleb, Rick, Marvin, Tammy, Chuck, everybody that's watching the show right now. We want to give a shout-out to you real quick. So I think I'm good. Did you see where Joe Gibbs pulled Denny Hamlin aside before he did his interview with the reporters and kind of give him a little bit of an up, like give him a little pep talk on how to handle the interview? Did you see that?
I did not, but you know it's a good thing that Joe did, or he did that. You know, Denny could have handled that anyway, and maybe made the situation worse. And if you're the victim there, you need to play the victim as much as you can and try and get a benefit out of the situation. And you know, for Joe Gibbs to want to offer that advice to their drivers and have their backs is really good. And you know, I think Denny maybe would have handled that situation a little bit different if Joe might have not had that conversation with him.
He might have blown a gasket in front of the reporters, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just took him. I mean, Denny had a pretty good car on Sunday. And it mm-hmm. you know, he gets spun under yellow. Now he's out of shot at winning and maybe moving on to the round of eight.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. All right, well, we're going to talk more about that with Steve Post here in a little bit. We really don't want to talk too much about NASCAR today because, you know, that's not what people are all about here on Mostly Motorsports. We love our sprint cars. We love late models. We dabble a little bit at USMTS modifieds as well. We'll be talking about that and more after we visit with Steve Post. He's coming up next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the Postman next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. a beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities, a large pool for relaxation and families, the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill, great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Joining us now is a great friend of the Racing Boys, the postman Steve Post, joins us now. Steve, how you doing, bro?
I am fantastic, Scott. Hope you are well.
I'm doing all right. You know, I don't think that Austin and I agree. What do you think about this William Byron, Denny Hamlin thing that happened? I don't think Denny Hamlin did anything intentional trying to get up off of the corner. I think that was just a racing deal. He got a little bit loose. He's in between a couple cars. His car ran up the track a little bit. He made a little bit of contact. I think William Byron overreacted a little bit. What do you think?
Tough to say. I mean, I never try to put myself in driver's spots. You know, has stuff happened between those two in the past? I don't know. Nobody has alluded to that, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. And so, you know, and I'm with you as far as the coming off the turn there. It looked to me, you know, it looked very much like a racing incident to me. Now, if I'm William Byron, I'm pissed off about the racing incident. So I'm all right with William being pissed off. And from there, I think is where it gets. And honestly, you know, dumping someone under caution, I'm not a big proponent of that. I just don't think that that's the way to go. And I thought for a while, up until yesterday, it looked like he got away with it.
Right.
And I think that's where I think it was a racing deal. I think William reacted, and I'm all right that William reacted. Not necessarily all right with the wrecking the guy under caution.
Right.
Not the first time that's happened. Not the last time that's happened. From that point, then it just gets very confusing and convoluted because NASCAR not catching it is I don't understand that. I understand there's a lot going on. So we can see. With technology, a tire getting away from a crew on pit road,
mm-hmm.
but we can't see someone wrecking somebody on the front stretch under caution. I have no issue with the fact that they missed it. I just wonder if we don't need to look at the mechanisms in place so we don't miss it again.
Steve, do you think that I think the difference that me and Austin have between the two of us is he felt like they should have made the decision right there on the spot. There's enough cameras. There's enough angles. There's so many cameras there at these NASCAR races. Do you think NASCAR... listen, I'm of the opinion that they've always made the decision on Tuesday. Why should they have to make the decision on the spot? They need to address the situation, take a look at it with a fine-tooth comb, and make the decision on Tuesday. Would you agree with me on that?
Well, up until earlier today, no, I would not. I like racing calls being made during the race. Now, technical inspection and stuff like that. But Todd Gordon is my co-host on Crew Call, and we talked about it. And he said, with the technology available today, he is cool with them waiting until Tuesday, because the hypothetical, he said, what if William Byron is coming off from turn number four and his brakes failed? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he would have said, William didn't help himself in the interview by acknowledging he did it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, William could have said my brakes failed, but with all the technology we have, with all the tracing, with all of the throttle tracing, with all of that, you can pretty much determine it. So I think when I woke up this morning, I'm like, no way. I don't like Tuesday penalties on a race call. But I guess I can understand the desire to get it right, and waiting until Tuesday would have given them a chance to look at it. Now, to me, you had William Byron getting out of the car and pretty much admitting it, which was someone needs to coach him on what to say at that point. He needed Coach Gibbs whispering in his ear. Not that he drives for Coach Gibbs, but I'm a little bit better with that now than I was 4 or 5 hours ago.
Yeah. Let me ask you, you were probably down there on pit road. I'm sure you were ready to interview Denny Hamlin. And Coach Joe Gibbs pulls Denny aside and gives him a little pep talk. What do you think he said during that pep talk? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I don't. I've seen that happen before. Coach, I think Coach knows his drivers. You know, and Coach also is privy to all the radio traffic that Denny has said on the radio. And so I think that Coach, I've seen crew chiefs do the same thing. I've seen other people do the same thing. You lean in and make sure your driver make sure there's one little factoid that your driver's aware of before he goes and says what he wants to say. You know, you as someone on the pit box know a whole lot more than what's going on in the driver.
That's
true. The driver knows what's happening in the car, and he knows the perspective of it, but you don't know what the other guy said. You don't know, you know, you just don't know that. And so I think it was interesting that it was Coach, but I think crew chiefs have been doing that forever and ever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think there's an interesting story that came down the pipe today. Jimmy Johnson interested in doing the double, could drive for Trackhouse. What do you know about that, Steve?
I know nothing about it other than Jimmy Johnson wants to do the double.
Right.
Trackhouse has shown that they will try anything, do anything. When I heard that, I will be shocked if it doesn't happen. Because of all of the parties involved, I just know Trackhouse is so aggressive with ideas like this.
Mm-hmm.
Their international driving program that they're going to have that they debuted at Watkins Glen,
right.
Just so much innovation. And so when Jimmy Johnson announced that he was stepping out of the IndyCar full time, I would not be surprised if someone from Trackhouse wasn't all over that.
Right.
You know, to say, hey, how about this? How about this on Memorial Day weekend? And so I am not shocked that that is out there, and I think I will be more surprised if it doesn't happen than if it does happen, because it's such a win for everybody at this point.
Steve, how often do you think people reach out to Jimmy Johnson and ask him to come back and drive in Cup? Do you think there's still a steady flow of people that would like for Jimmy Johnson to race for them in the Cup Series?
I'm not sure that there's – I'm not. The one thing is that you really are limited. Jimmy has been extremely loyal to Chevrolet.
Right.
So I doubt the Ford camp or the Toyota camp is reaching out to him to come and drive their car. So when you look at that, and Hendrick Motorsports, you know, has a great relationship with Jimmy. And in complete honesty, I wouldn't be surprised that Jimmy isn't running their sports car, the NASCAR sports car, the Garage 56 sports car over at Le Mans in June. I think that that relationship is good, but I think Trackhouse, and so I think that I think that anyone kind of understands that it's probably going to be a Chevy team. So that puts you Hendrick, who's kind of full, Childress, kind of full, kind of got a lot on their plate, not all that creative with things like that.
Yeah.
And then Trackhouse Racing, who has room, only has two cars. They have this third entity that they're trying to build with international drivers, which Jimmy Johnson would qualify as not an international driver, but a world-class driver that could fill in, that fits into this mold perfectly. And so I don't think he gets a lot of offers, but I think there's one on the table now that very well could happen.
Yeah. How about the race this weekend down at Texas Motor Speedway? Tyler Reddick picks up the win. Joey Logano was second. I'm telling you, I'm more and more impressed with Justin Haley, the way that he is consistently finishing up towards the top 10 in 2022. How about you?
Well, I think Justin Haley is. I think Justin Haley is. They're building a really, really good foundation, and one of our mutual friends, Trent Owens, is over there that does the calls the shots on that one.
Right.
I think we saw some great strategy out of them. They pitted, somewhere the next to last stop and did four tires. That put him in a good spot to take two tires on the last spot to win the race off from pit road. And so I think the strategy put him there. And I think what we're seeing is Justin Haley, you put him at the front of the field, he stays there. This is a challenge. The challenge is getting to the front of the field. And when strategy or whatever it is gets him to the front of the field, he does a nice job staying there and just had another great run. I think that this is another one of those, and this is another one of those young teams that's creative. I think this gets interesting to see where college goes. Here's what I think. When I look at 2022, okay, take Trackhouse out of the equation, and we are losing our minds with how good college racing is and how good Michael McDowell and Front Row Motorsports have become.
Right.
Though in any other year, what college racing has done and what Front Row Motorsports have done, we would be losing our minds on it. The problem we have this year is the Trackhouse has just set the bar so high for brand new teams that you can't even compete with it. So
right.
Back to your question, I think Justin Haley, I think they are setting themselves up for a lot of success as this thing goes forward.
Man, I'm such a big fan of T.O. I just hope the best for him. He deserves it. He's put his dues in. He's been doing this a long time. I'm going to move on to another question. Kyle Larson finished ninth this week. He's currently fourth in the point standings. Do you think that – who is more disappointed, do you think? The fans of Kyle Larson or Kyle Larson himself?
Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
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 I mean, he's that competitor. He's that guy.
Right.
But this year, I don't think you can make, I don't know that you, I still don't think we, I've thought all year long about this season makes no sense and you wait for it to make sense and it still hasn't made any sense.
Right.
When you look, the Penske cars go to Bristol and all of them have problems. The Penske cars go to Texas and they're fine. The Hendrick cars go here and have all problems. They come out the next week and you swear they're going to run the table. It's just the nature of how challenging, how tricky, how this season has been, and how competitive it is with everybody leaving the shop with the same equipment. I just think it's made it uber competitive, and so I think Larson's used to winning a lot. That's what he does. And so I think that, I think that he's frustrated that that's the case, but I think he also understands that this thing could go upside down at any time and he could win two or three in a row as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. So this weekend, it's the 35th annual Short Track Nationals. 360 cars going to be racing down at Little Rock. This could be the last race down there. Really the big, final big race of the entire history of that racetrack. It's kind of sad to say, to be honest with you. It's going to pay $15,041 to win on Saturday. Tomorrow night, they're going to have a Mid-South race down there. It's going to pay $5,000 to win. You know, we were sitting here talking about the people that we think that might have a chance to win that race. You know, obviously, Blake Hahn, he's won three out of the last four. Sam Hapertief is a guy that you got to think about that could win this race as well. But there's a lot of good guys going to be racing down there. Aaron Reitzel's going to be down there this year. Give us your take on who do you think is the favorite going into the Short Track Nationals this weekend, Steve?
I think the Short Track Nationals lays out really, really cool because it is such a great historic race, and this one is so this one is going to be so meaningful, being that it apparently it looks like it's the last one that we're having down there.
Right.
And what I love about coming into this one is that your top ASCS touring drivers have all had success there. You mentioned that Blake Hahn has won three of the last four. Sam Hapertief has won the other one that Blake didn't win. The veteran guys, Tim Crawley and Wayne Johnson, have won. Of course, their wins were back in the 90s, but they have won there. So I love a good story. I love the feel good. I love a good story. And I don't think it's a long shot with his skills and the ability. I just think that Tim Crawley could be the guy to watch this week. I think that I don't think we're sitting here saying someone's going to come out of retirement and win the race to give me a good story. I think that Tim Crawley is a perfectly good, capable driver of winning this race, and I think that he gets those elbows up and gets it done down there. So that's kind of who I'm watching. That's my pick on the thing as far as the Short Track Nationals goes. But you know, there's going to be a lot of tough competition. If Crawley wins it, or whoever wins this thing's going to have to going to earn their nickels. That's for sure.
I think a lot of people are going to be pulling for Tim Crawley down there because he announced that he's going to retire at the end of this year and he's going to start helping his son Landon a little bit more. I think there's going to be a lot of people down there at Little Rock because, listen, Tim Crawley knows that track as well as anybody, right? Maybe Mike Ward might be the only other guy that knows that track as well. I got to feel like Tim Crawley is going to be the crowd favorite at that race this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right. And what a career. Now you want to go with someone. You want to go with someone winning it that would give likewise a great story. What if Landon Crawley were to win the race? I think there's a little bit longer shot. I think, you know, Tim is just all of Tim's experience and everything like that. But to Tim's point, Tim has just had an amazing career, amazingly successful career. And I just love where he's at with everything. We chatted with him on Wing Nation, and then I talked to him when I was up in Lakeside a couple weeks ago and was out there hanging out with you guys.
Yep.
And just he's just at a really, really good spot. He's at a good spot, Scott, because racers want to race, okay? Right. The worst thing in the world is a racer that is told he can no longer race. Tim has got the perfect scenario because he's got a son that wants to race also. So Tim Crawley is going to get a chance to race. Now, he's going to race in a different role with Landon and coaching him. And
right.
What I've seen out of Landon, that kid, the sky's the limit with that kid. And you take a little full-time dad, Tim Crawley, you know, kind of honing him up and working with him, not having to work on his own car,
right,
working on Landon and, hey, you should have done this in the heat race or what'd you see here. I think the sky's the limit for Landon. And I think this puts Tim in a really good spot personally as he moves forward with his decision to climb out from the car. And what better way to do it? I mean, we saw it back in Pennsylvania. Lynn Paxton won the National Open and walked away. Fred Raymer won the National Open and he ran one or two more races but was done. I just think that these stories are good, and I think Tim Crawley, just in talking with him, and I don't know him that well, but I think he's at a really, really good spot because he's got his next chapter he's looking forward to as much as the chapter he has written, the book he has written, the Hall of Fame book he has written. He's got another chapter ahead of him that I think is equally as interesting to him. And that would make him the crowd favorite this week. And the folks that end up with the place, they wouldn't have to tear down nearly as much because they'd tear that joint down if Crawley won that thing, I would say, on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot about what the future of the racetrack holds. When we saw that Tracy Clay decided not to run mufflers at the Short Track Nationals, they've always ran mufflers down there. I think this is her way of telling the neighbors, you know what I'm going to say. She's giving them the bird. She's letting them run open headers down there, and I think that says everything about what the future of Little Rock is. Which is sad, really, to be honest.
I agree.
It's sad.
Here's the thing. When we have scenarios like this, when we have situations like this, you look for the denials, and nobody's denying anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. That's the reality of it is that nobody's denying it. So I think we all know what's going on, and, you know, let's just savor one more Short Track Nationals at that racetrack that is one of the most badass racetracks on the planet. My God, what a great racetrack that
is. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'm looking forward to getting down there. I'm leaving tomorrow to go down there. They're going to run a Mid-South race on Thursday, and then they'll start the Short Track Nationals on Friday and Saturday. There's several people that I think could win this race. I think Aaron Reitzel, you got to put him in there. Derek Hagar, you got to put in there. Ryan Timms is going to be running down there as well. And listen, if anybody doesn't take Howard Moore seriously, Howard Moore knows how to get around that racetrack as well as anybody. And he's driving A.G. Rain's car down there. And listen, that team always does well. Sammy won with that car down there a few years ago. I think Howard Moore, you got to keep your eye on him.
Yeah, I think so, too. Howard Moore is a great wheel man, especially at that racetrack. And you're right with that team, with AG's team down there. That's what I think is so neat about where we're at with the Short Track Nationals is that there are probably eight guys that would not shock you to win. You know, that would be like, okay, I can buy that. And there's probably another six or eight that if the stars align, they're good enough to jump up there. Maybe there's more than that that could jump up there and steal one and make a name for themselves, take a headline. So, man, when you go to a race like this at a great bull ring, put a lot of money on the line, and you have 15, 18, 20 cars that could win the thing, and we're just in for a treat to watch this thing and see how it plays out this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, if it is the last Short Track Nationals, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some right rears fed, because everybody wants to win the last one, don't they?
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, interesting, we had Wayne Johnson on last week on Wing Nation, and Wayne was like, is it the last Short Track Nationals or is it the last Short Track Nationals at Little Rock? Can someone take that race and go elsewhere?
Well, that's true.
And we all know how Wayne is. Wayne's got a promotional mind, and maybe he's got some ideas in play. But to me, the Short Track Nationals at this point, all we know is Little Rock. And you're right. That's a perfect racetrack to feed a right rear to somebody to. And there'll be plenty of opportunities. And you get to the latter stages, three, four laps to go. There could be some dinner served to some guys with those right rear tires.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Steve. So what do you think about this weekend? Where are you headed? Where are you going this weekend?
Well, I'm going to go to Talladega, Alabama. You know, Scott, because the NASCAR playoffs have been really, really tame and quiet, so we need this wild card race at Talladega in front of us. So,
right.
First off, I listened to the front of your show, the top of your show. First off, our thoughts are with, you know, the people in Florida and the Southeast in the path of Ian, and it looks like Ian is moving to the East. That may not have as big an impact as we thought at one time this week on Talladega Super Speedway.
Yeah.
We're just all, you know, working on logistics of getting there, all the teams and everyone as they come from the Charlotte area. So I think we've got all of that buttoned up, you know, and obviously the bigger issue is Ian, and our thoughts and prayers for that. Once we get cleared of that and into Talladega, we've got the trucks and Xfinity Series on Saturday, and then we got the Cup, that wild card race, and no idea even who's, you know, we've had four non-active playoff drivers win the first four races. Yeah, Reddick was a playoff driver, but he was booted out before he won his race at Texas. And this is the race where everyone says anyone could win. So I have no idea what we're going to see down there other than probably, if it's like everything else in 2022, complete chaos. So looking forward to getting down to Talladega.
Do they have a contingency plan if some reason the weather was to set in down there? Have they spoke to you about that yet?
I'm sure they do. They've not spoke to me about it. I'm on the low end of the feeding chain on that stuff. So I'm sure they do have a plan in play. And I think if we're looking at it, my understanding is Sunday looks good. Sunday looks good. It's just a matter of what Saturday might look like if that storm goes a little bit further west than they're expecting. But I'm not even sure what to expect at this point.
Yeah, it was kind of bummed out to see that high limit race rained out last night, weren't you?
Yeah, I was too, man. I was ready to go. I was going to pop some popcorn. I had a nice cold Yingling beer ready, maybe two Yingling beers ready, and I was going to sit down and watch that. I love Wayne County, and I was bummed. I was bummed when that hit, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And tonight we have Flo Night in America, so we're going to watch some late model racing tonight. Do you watch any of the late model stuff, Steve?
I am trying. Scott, I'm struggling with late models. Because the last thing I need is another series of car to follow, okay? With NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, Truck, ARCA, we do modified races. I do the Legends Summer Shootout. I do all the kids out at Millbridge. I do some late model stock races. I was at Martinsville doing the Valley Star 300 on Saturday night.
Right.
The last thing I need is to follow these dirt late model racers. The problem of it is the racing is so good that I am enjoying all of it, whether it's World of Outlaws, Lucas Oil, XR. And so, yeah, I'll be following along with it. I'm trying not to get caught up in it, but I just love the late model racing that we're seeing. The pay-per-view on that has just taken we think the pay-per-view has impacted sprint car racing, but the pay-per-view of late models, because every week we've got another show on the air, that has just taken late model races to incredible places. So I'll be following along. I'm really enjoying that form of racing.
Oh, my gosh. I just got a message from my cousin David that lives on a canal down there in Cape Coral, right where the hurricane is hitting. He said, I just got the keys to my neighbor's house. It's fully automatically generated. So he's going to ride it out down there. I can't believe he's doing that. This is the same cousin that lost his house to a tornado about 15 years ago here in Kansas City. So
he must be going with the odds of how can that happen twice, but I'm not with him on that call.
I'm not with him either. I'm totally not with you, with him as well. So, Steve, we appreciate you always taking the time. Again, Steve's appearance is bought by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be a part of the show. Looking forward to it. You know, I Talladega is my favorite racetrack that I go to. The fans are so intense there at that racetrack, aren't they, Steve?
They really get into their NASCAR, that's for sure, down there. They get into a lot of things from about Thursday night on. They get into all kinds of stuff. But when it comes time, Sunday afternoon, about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, everything settles down, and they really, really focus in on their NASCAR racing. The fans in Alabama, man, they love it. And you're right, they are there. They are out in full force. They are there all week long, and it is a fun event. Talladega is a fun event anyhow, but the fans are what really take it to the top point. That place, when something happens out on the racetrack, it's just electric around there. You could feel the energy when that crowd lights up.
My favorite race of all time at Talladega is when Earnhardt came from 17th, got shoved by Kenny Wallace all the way to victory, and there was about five laps to go. That was my favorite race of all time down at Talladega is when Earnhardt came from 17th to win that race. How about you?
Yeah, those are always good. What my favorite was Dale Earnhardt whenever Junior would make a pass. I love it because they play the MRN call on the PA. So,
right.
You know, on the turns, you have Dave Moody and Mike Bagley and Kyle Rickey or Dan Hubbard or Kurt Becker, whoever's over in turn number four. And our guys play to it. So you have Mike Bagley in turn number three saying, Dale Earnhardt Jr. jumps out of line. Now, he could jump out of line in 30-second spot.
Right.
But when Mike Bagley says Dale Earnhardt Jr. jumps out of line, the crowd jumps to their feet, and it's so funny. You can hear the crowd just roaring down there. It's just the passion that they have. And so Earnhardt, whether it was the old man or Jr., certainly a lot of great memories there at Talladega from their exploits around that racetrack.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Steve, thanks for taking the time to join us here on Wednesdays as you do each and every week. We appreciate it, and we appreciate the guys over at Sage Fruit for allowing you to come over here and be a part of the show. Thanks so much, my friend.
You got it. We'll talk to you next week, Scott.
All right. We'll see Steve next week right here on Mostly Motorsports. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show right after this.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
So here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott hanging out with us in the house as well. So, Steve agreed with you, Austin. How about that? Huh?
A lot of people agree with me.
Don't get too full of yourself, bud. Just so you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just jacking with you.
I know.
Anyway, you know, they've done it this they've done it that way forever, and I'm not going to have a problem with it. Let's Williams Grove this weekend, right?
Friday and Saturday, the National Open, $75,000.
Who do you think is going to win?
I don't know. It's going to be tough to beat Lance right now. Lance, I think, has won maybe three in a row at the Grove on a weekly program. And Lance is always good, no matter if it's a, weekly Grove race or if it's, you know, the National Open with the Outlaws or, you know, an all-star race. He's going to be good there no matter what. You know, I think he had a pretty good car there last year. You got to look at Macedo. Macedo was there, was good when they came back, you know, kind of early in the spring and the summer. And then, you know, he was disqualified, I think, from one of those races and had a really good run. And you know, I'm pretty sure he won this race last year and had a really fast car all weekend long. And the speed he's had out in California. And then he had a pretty decent run at Eldora. But I think they can come back, you know, after last year and some of this year's races and come in, you know, with a really good shot at winning. And trying to think who else we could think about. I mean, that's probably my two. One local car and one outlaw car would be those would be my two drivers to look at.
Brent Marks, Justin Peck, you can't rule those guys out either, right?
I'm not sure if Peck's going to be there or not.
He's not?
I can look.
He might not be. That might be my bad on that one. I think how good is Macri at Williams Grove? He's pretty good there, isn't he?
Yeah, Anthony's won, you know, a handful of races there. I think, you know, he could, after the year he's had, right. I think you can't count him out. I think he's going to be tough to beat. I mean, your local Pennsylvania cars are going to be tough to beat. Danny Dietrich's going to be really good. Let's see. So Justin Peck will be he should be there.
Justin Peck is going to be there?
Yes, they just have. So they have on his website, it says Fremont Speedway, and then it says National Open with the World of Outlaws on the same day. So I think whoever built this website messed up, and it should be the National Open. So yes, he should be there.
Right. Well, you can't count him out, right? He gets around that track pretty good.
Yeah, the last time he was there was, you know, with the All-Stars, he ended up outside the track. Him and Hunter Schoenberg, you know, got together and
right.
And had a pretty spectacular crash. But I think, you know, after the year that Justin's had, and he's had some really good speed and shown an improvement at a lot of tracks he maybe didn't have good runs at in the past, I think you'll have to keep your eye on him. I mean, if you're a top all-star guy, top outlaw guy, and a top, you know, local Pennsylvania guy, you're going to have a shot. You know, when the feature rolls off, then you're going to start, what, 24 cars?
Right.
All 24 cars have an equal shot at winning that race. It just depends on where you start. I mean, you know, they're going to have – it's going to be a big entry list, and, you know, over half those cars there will have a legitimate shot. Just got to get through your prelim night and get through, you know, the program and get yourself, you know, into a pretty good starting spot. Williams Grove is – it's a racy track for the way it's shaped, and it's unique in that way. But you just you're going to have to get in there and get qualified in the first couple rows and put yourself in a spot where it's going to be easy to pick up that win. Just get the clean air and get going.
Yeah. Oh, so tonight, Flow Night in America, they're going to be running the late models tonight. It pays $22,022 to win. There's going to be a lot of good drivers. I think Kyle Larson's going to be running there tonight too, isn't he?
He should be.
I think he is. And Jonathan Davenport, Dennis Erb, Brandon Shepard, Hudson O'Neill. There's a lot of great. Ricky Thornton Jr. is going to be there tonight. Stormy Scott, Tyler Erb, Ryan Gustinson, Tanner English, Brandon Overton. I think I mentioned him already, but it'd be a pretty good group of cars there tonight.
Yeah.
Who are you picking?
I don't know. Anytime you're going to have a big, you know, Flow Night. I mean, the Flow Night in America series should be, you know, coming to an end here. Maybe one or two more races, and it should be over. So, for the guys that are, I don't know if it has a points. I think they have a points that kind of follows that. If they do, I mean, you're going to have the guys that have a shot at the championship kind of following it, and with the paying always really good for the late models. I mean, you're going to bring all the cars there, and I'm not sure where the, like, Lucas Oil and the World of Outlaws head after this weekend, but you know, they usually schedule these events kind of around those races where they can pull those bigger names, kind of like what we saw what was supposed to happen last night with Kyle Larson's, you know, High Limit Open, which got rained out. You know, it's right, you know, right after Eldora and Sharon, and right before, you know, the National Open at Williams Grove. So I think you're going to have all your heavy hitters there, and they're all going to be good, like the ones you mentioned. But I don't really, I think Atomic, I haven't really seen a whole lot of races at Atomic to really tell you who'd be good. I know it's kind of close to Tyler Herb's shop, so I'll go semi-local guy. Even though he's from Texas, I'll go Turbo.
All right. So right now, Castro Flow Night, Flow Racing, Night in America points after 9:13:22. Brandon Shepard is in the point lead. Mike Muller is second. And then Bobby Pierce, Ricky Thornton, Hudson O'Neill. Those are your top five. And rounding out the top 10 is Tyler Erb, Stormy Scott, Dennis Erb Jr., Ryan Gustin, Tanner English, and then Brandon Overton, Garrett Alberson. Those are your top 12 in the points right now with the Flow Night.
Yeah, that's a pretty stacked, you know, top 12 right there and yeah. Standings. That's some really good cars and a really, I guess, diverse car, you know, group of cars from, you know, World of Outlaw cars, Lucas cars, outlaw quote cars that, you know, travel wherever they go,
right.
and a lot of wins and championships in that top 10. So to see all those drivers and all those accomplishments kind of all in that group is just shows what the Flow Night America did for the community or you know, late model racing.
Yeah, well, putting $22,022 to win, $11,000 for second, $5,000 for third, $4,000 for fourth, $3,000 for fifth, and just to start the race, it pays $1,000. So that's pretty good money, right?
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not as good as the Knoxville Nationals they just had, you know, 2 weeks ago now. That paid, I think, $2,500 to start, but I'll take $1,000 to start. I think anybody will take $1,000 to start.
Right. The total purse for tonight, for Flow Night, is $67,572. That's a pretty good purse.
That's a good chunk of change.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to remind everybody also to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You've only got till October 1st to see the Ascot Park track tribute that's going on up there right now. You need to get up there and see it. Folks, it's the best track tribute I've ever seen at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got so many cool cars up there. Jimmy Oskey's car, Dean Thompson's car, Pernelli Jones' car. But my favorite is the Jimmy Oskey old pink car that's up there. It's still in its original race condition for back in the day. You need to get up there right now. Remember, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week. You can get up there, check it out. This is going to be a great exhibit. It's going to go through October 1st. Get up there and check out this fantastic track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It's such a great exhibit. Folks, don't miss it. You don't have much time left. You got to get up there and check it out. It is so good. So make sure you get up there, and while you're up there, buy you a Sprint Car raffle ticket as well. They've got a 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a complete 410 race car. This car is a race-ready 410 Sprint Car, folks, and they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it to help you pay for the taxes as well. If you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. If you're not comfortable giving your information on a computer, you can always call up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum at 641-842-6176. Again, that's 641-842-6176. Get up there if you can, and if you can't, go to SprintCarRaffle.com. All right, well, that is it for today's show. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Yellett, I'm Scott Traylor saying we'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.